Welcome to the 20th episode of the 5-Minute Major Podcast of STL. Wow, what a week it's been, Blues fans. We'll recap this past week's games, final statistics of the Blues prospects in the World Junior Classic, live updates of the final of the World Classic as well, and we have a new little talk for you. Shoot Your Shot, where we're going to discuss potential trades for our Blues and what we think they can add. How you doing, Mike? How you surviving Snowmageddon going on right now?
Yeah. Went outside to shovel once, was going to do it twice, and decided not to. So everything's fine, though. We're good. Get the work from home tomorrow. You do not. So please drive safe to Barnes.
I'll make it to work one way or another. How long it takes me is the big question, but I'll start my journey bright and early.
Dude, there were people, some of my friends, like our grade school friends, were skiing.
I saw that. Yep.
They were being drug on the back of the old Toyota. That was so funny. Shout out Spogging Skate St. Louis.
Live update, folks. USA wins 4-3 in overtime, defeating Finland, taking home the gold medal. Colin Ralph, your Blues prospect on defense, wins the gold medal. Finland goes home with a well-deserved silver. Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that in there. Just saw that update come across. So
yeah.
There we go.
Wow. Right when we started, we thought we were going to time it up perfectly where we got to the part when the game ended. Anyways, we'll get to more details of the Junior Classic. We wanted to start with game recaps, as we always do. Not much going around the league, so we're just going to kind of toss that out today, stick with mostly Blue stuff and World Junior, of course. I will throw in that Matthews was supposed to be on the LTIR, and then he came back and had 3 points in last night's game. Yeah. So I guess he's not hurt. that's all I have for the NHL news. All right. Let's go back to the Winter Classic, dude.
Fantastic.
It was on New Year's Eve. Not fantastic.
No. NHL dropped the ball on that. Like, I'm sorry.
Bettman's all over the place with these outdoor games. No one really cares anymore unless your team's playing in it, which it was a great game if you're a Blues fan.
Great game, but two very underperforming and middle-tier team, and I'm pretty sure it had the lowest viewership in Winter Classic history.
It did, but and it's steadily gone down. That being said,
it has never been played on New Year's Eve. It is known for New Year's Day. Also, you had multiple other NHL games scheduled for that same day. So I don't know what they were expecting. It's mind-boggling. Yeah.
And then they had like 10 games on the same day, right? And then they only had one game on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you flip-flop that game?
I'm very confused.
It's so silly. The game itself was great. We dominated. We are now 3-0 in Winter Classic games. Just we love playing outside. Texier and Kyrou scored. That's great. Kyrou keeps his little Winter Classic streak going. And then the man, the myth, the legend, the man of the hour, Mr. 1000, Cam Fowler. He becomes the first player to play his 1000th game at the Winter Classic, we've mentioned before. And then he scored twice in his 1000th game at the Winter Classic. And he ended up winning the old Coco Cup, the MVP award that, NHL TNT had made up a year ago. It's cool, man. It was surreal. I bet he was pumped up. He's one of the most down-to-earth people. Like, when you hear him talking, he's just I'm here to play a game. I'm a father. He just talks about, like, the nicest things in the nicest way possible. I'm proud of him. I'm, like, officially on the Fowler bandwagon until he retires. hopefully as a Blue. That'd be cool. We're lucky to have him, dude. Doug Armstrong with another great pickup to bulk up the defense. You know, people think we're old, but honestly, like, Suter's truly the only one that's like really old. Everyone else is like 30-ish, you know.
And I feel like your defense can be slightly older. I feel like we've got away from the NHL where it's like everyone has to be you can play into your mid-30s and still be a productive player. And Suter's 39 and still productive. Brett Burns is 39, still a productive player. Like, the preconceived notion that you have to be this young team needs to just go to the wayside. I don't get it. You need a good balance of youth and veteran experience.
That's what I was going to say, is the mix, and we have it right now. Hopefully we can string together like a pretty good win streak, because right now we're getting lucky with being in it when we lose. So we got to string together a streak here soon. Great Winter Classic game. Next one, we had a few days off, of course, holiday break. We came back home against the Senators, who had been on the, I think it was the NHL's longest road trip because of the Junior Classic being played in their arena. So they were on a back-to-back of like a 10-game road trip. They were exhausted. We dominated them.
Yeah.
Came out, scored four on them. Binnington got a shutout. Just keeping the momentum from the Winter Classic. Falk and Sonny didn't play this game. So Falk has some sort of upper body injury. You hate to see it. He was finally like back in his spot, I feel like, with Broberg. Uh-huh. And then Sonny got sick, which sucks. But honestly, we played great without him. Scotty P and Matty Joseph came in and they played good.
Yeah, Matty was playing third line center.
Yeah, weird. Really weird, and it worked out great. Shen had a good goal, and then another guy from the Woodworks who have been having a really tough year so far. We've talked about him before, and Brandon Saad, his first hat trick since 2017, and it was his first goal since his last two-goal game in November. He's like more streaky than Jaden Schwartz, this guy. Hopefully he can keep it up. I will say, in the game we had a back-to-back, the next game he looked great too. He could have scored two more.
Yeah,
I just couldn't put any past the goaltender.
Happy for once. And yes, yeah, he scored three goals, but like he had the pep in the step. He was skating harder than I've ever seen him skate. I think that's the only thing that, as of late, it's been hard to watch him, because I feel like his skating and his effort wasn't there. And I'm not saying he's not trying. I would never say that about an NHL player, but the sod of past was just gone, and it was sad. So yeah. I think for me, that game, watching it in person, Sod was just on fire, and I loved every moment of it. And you go from the arena, they announced his name as the starting lineup, and he got some cheers, but not as loud as Thomas or Broberg. And then you get to where he scores, and by the end of the game, they're hat trick. People are standing O. Like, Blues fans will hold you accountable. Sometimes we're unreasonable, but we will support you when you are doing it for us. And that's the thing. We stood, we cheered him on. We were happy to see it. And it was really nice to see him just have a breakout game like that.
Yeah. You know, as fans, you never know what's going on mentally. You kind of have to think about that. In the moment, a lot of people don't. I mean, we're guilty of it, of course. You know, you tweet something out, you get a reply like, oh, yeah, now that I think about it more than 5 seconds, like, you might be right on the other side of things. I'm just happy that he's not, like, still slumping, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
I think he's got the pep back. I don't know if he's your first-line guy right now. He kind of has to be. That game was just fantastic. Like, truly a remarkable game against the Senators, who were struggling, and we put them in the ground even more, and you love to see that. You need to do that against these teams that are struggling, tired, bad. So that's two wins in a row, and that is the seventh time we've won two in a row. We're going in a back-to-back up to Columbus the next day. This game was banana lands, as Biz would say. it was up, down, sideways, crisscross. I didn't know what was gonna happen. We went down 3-0. Shorty, or was it 2-1, 3-1? I think it was either 3-0 or 3-1. They got a shorty on us, killed all the momentum we had. That sucked. And then we ended up scoring on that power play to make it 4-2.
Great goal by Kyrou in that.
Great goal. Right in the slot, little snapshot. Then it was like 4-3, 5-3, 5-4. Oh my God, we're in it again off a Shen goal. And then it was 6-4 empty netter. And we're like, Just let it end. Just let it end. They wanted to be in it, but they couldn't. There were so many chances that Merzlinka stopped this game. He was standing on his head, and he still let in four goals. We truly, I think we should have won this game. We just started out so flat. Really, really tired legs from the night before, which kind of stinks to see when you are dominating a team 4-0. Some accolades, though. Pareko, game number 700, he scored with a bomb.
Rocket of a rocket. Shot.
It was his best goal of the year, 100%. Mm-hmm. And then Fowler comes out and gets his 100th career goal, crashing the net as a defender. I think Monty let him loose. I think he let the defense loose when we were down by two or three. He's like, you guys just go. Like, just play loose. We got to get some chances. And it worked out almost all the way to the end. Hofer let in five. I'd say
worst game of the year.
One of the worst for him. The one off Pareko that goes in sucks. And then the first goal was kind of fluky too, but the shorty, he cheated so far on his glove side. The guy just sniped it blocker and he put his head up to the air. I'm like, God, he just need to save that one, bud. And that was kind of the end right there, unfortunately.
And I think at that point you saw that he was playing so deep into his crease. And I think that's usually a sign of a goalie that's a little scared of where he's at. If you see with Bennington, when he's really on his game and he's really in the he plays really high up on his crease. That gives a very small angle in which guys can put a puck past you. And he was just creeping back into the net. And Darren Pang always used to talk about that. You know when a goalie's in it? When he's playing high on his crease. And I think Hofer started to feel the pressure and started to scoop back just a little bit. But he corrected it towards the end of that third period. He kept us in it a little bit. We needed a couple big saves, and I think that was the hard part. One or two big saves, and we win that game, or we go to overtime at least.
Yeah. Yeah, just an off night for him. You know, we talked about how Bennington was doing this. Like, he had a slow couple games. And we said, oh, maybe give Hofer a slight majority after that Winter Classic, or he needs a little more starts. Well, now it's like a little bit inconsistent. I don't know what we do. You know, when Bennington needs a break, he's got to come in and stop. And, you know, if you let in three and we win, whatever. You let in five and we lose, it's 6-4 with the empty netter, but pretty much 5-4. It's like, we need you to make a couple more, and it's just hard to gauge. Like I said, you think for 5 seconds, you tweet something out, you're like, we need someone else to play more, you know, but then you sit back and someone comes out and they play more and they're just not on, you know, it is what it is. It just a game that we would love to see the Blues win and finally go on their first 3-game win streak of the year on our 7th attempt.
Also, that being said, like, we win this 3rd game in a row, first time of the season. Every team that we needed to lose lost. We could have jumped and been tied for the second wild card spot.
Yeah. Like,
so here's the thing. Like, we are getting these opportunities, and thank the Lord the Western Conference is kind of in shambles with some games. And honestly, if Nashville can turn it on for a slight end of this season and screw with everyone else, that'd be great for us.
That'd be great.
They're not catching up to us at this point, unless we just self-implode. Right. So, like, that being said, like, I think Vancouver is going backwards. I think Vancouver is the team to go after. We're racing for the second wild card spot, folks. Yeah. And I don't think anyone realizes we're not getting the 3rd place in the Central. We're not getting the first wild card because it's going to all Central teams. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you're not catching the Jets. You're not catching Minnesota. And now it's going to be a back and forth battle between Avalanche and Dallas for the 3rd spot and the first wild card.
Yeah. Which is one of those really annoying things about the way it's set up. But it makes for the best playoff hockey, right? You get the best teams in.
But I'll take Winnipeg on in a 7-game series. I feel great about us taking Winnipeg on in a 7-game
series. I do, too.
People think that sounds like a nightmare, but I don't care. We turn it on in the playoffs. Like Bissonnette was talking about on Spittin' Chicklets, we're a dark horse team if we can add a center and we can sneak our way into the playoffs, because it's anyone's series at that point.
Yeah, Bissonnette just knows how Binnington gets, you know. He just knows how he gets when he gets into the lights. So, and I really want to see Kyrou have a true playoff push. I feel like he never really has had one yet with the COVID years and all that. So I want to get him back in there, see if he lights it up. You made a good point, dude. Vancouver is sliding. They've got a lot of weird stuff going on, a lot of injuries.
Locker room issues, injuries.
Just feel bad a little bit for the fans after such a great couple years, and now they're kind of like, are we going to make it? And I hope they don't, because it'll be us if they don't. It's amazing how the hockey gods work that we're still within only a game of the second wild card because everyone else lost. So we pray to them every day, right?
Yeah.
To keep us in it, and it's working right now. We just got to take advantage.
We have also played a lot of games compared to some NHL teams. So, like, that being said, like, we need some of these teams to catch up to us in games played and hopefully lose those games in which they're catching up, and then we can figure out how we're going to go from there. But
we're like, three or four games more played than some of these teams? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, we're at 41 games, which it's starting to even up finally with some teams here.
Yeah, that's good.
Because for a while there, we were like four games in front of some of these teams.
Yeah.
And that's just not a recipe for success when you're losing games too. So we're two points out of the second wild card spot. We've played 41 games. Vancouver's sitting at 38 games. And then Calgary, who's also in front of us, is sitting 39. It's doable. Yeah,
it's the games like the Buffalo game last week, the San Jose games. Like,
Loss to Ottawa in the early in the season.
And then there was another one.
The Montreal Canadiens.
That was when those teams weren't even playing good, you know? Yeah. And we weren't either. But still, that's 6 points right there. But it is what it is right now. You just got to live in the present. Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into the World Junior Classic. As Josh said, it just ended.
World Junior.
It was great.
It was a great tournament.
It was good for us because our prospects truly lit it up, almost all of them. I'm just going to go through like the past couple days, and then Josh will really dig into the last four games. So Canada, Latvia, Switzerland, Slovakia were all eliminated in the semis or quarters finals, I think. Poor Dvorsky, he had one heck of a tournament. 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points in the 5 games they played. He was leading all of the World Junior Classic at the end of that day with points. Like, he was the top guy. And then also Pekarčič, for Slovakia. 7 points in 5 games played. He looked awesome. And he's a big boy. I didn't realize how big he was.
And he will be back next year in that tournament.
Yes, he will. I think he might have like an A on that chest if he keeps playing like that, dude.
Yep.
He looked really, really good. I feel bad for Slovakia and those guys, but they the individuals had a great tournament. So, that means Czechia, Sweden, USA and Finland all advanced to the semis. I'll read those stats in a second. So the games that were played, let's see, Czechia played USA. USA won 3-1. Obviously, they made it to the gold medal game. That means Czechia was playing for bronze. Stancil scored the lone goal for Czechia against the United States. That's awesome. He had an unreal tournament, literally unreal tournament. Sweden had lost to Finland 4-3. That stinks, but they're going to play for bronze against Czechia. Stenberg scored 2. So he was kind of lighting it up in this tournament too. Yep. I'll have you read your bullet points here.
Yeah, so I'll kind of loop in. So, I mean, the Finland-Sweden game went into overtime.
Yeah.
That being said, Stenberg had a really great game and was working his butt off. So this tournament was very vital for our prospects and what our future is. So that being said, very happy with what we saw from our players. I think we got the most bang for the buck with all the draft picks that we got. And I think Blues fans, you have to be very excited about this because a lot of these guys, I think four or five of these guys have strong potential to be NHL players. So I think the key guys going in for us in the next couple of years, Theo Lindstein, defenseman for Sweden, had a good tournament. It was a little underwhelming. That being said, I think we didn't see the offensive production, but it's hard to see an offensive production when the Sandy Pekelin Axel, who's the Detroit Red Wings prospect, was a freaking monster. So I think that took him out of some situations. But he did get a couple assists and some big-time goals with his buddy Otto Stenberg. I think the biggest guy that you should be looking forward to is Dvorsky, like we've talked about. But I think Stenberg is going to be a phenomenal two-way player. I don't think he's going to be a top-line guy, but he'll be top six. And his game kind of reminds me of a Robert Thomas in a way, that he plays a great two-way game. He can play the wing, he can play center, and I think that's going to be very vital. The guy that I'm most excited for, and I don't know if NHL scouts are as high on him as I am, Stonzel. I am still on this track record that I believe he's going to be like a Malkin. He's big, he drives the net, he's got a great shot, seems like a really good leader for that Czech team, and that's going to be the biggest thing. The pipeline for us is just exciting, and I think we're in the retool, Blues fans. You just gotta wait it out because the reinforcements are coming, and Steen and Doug did magic. Okay. And then the last guy is Adam Yurchik. I think he's a top four defenseman for us. He's not a superstar, but he's gonna be steady. He's gonna play a lot of minutes for us. He's big, he's lengthy, and he's gonna be a stay-at-home defenseman with potential of some offensive upside. And I think it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. That being said, this tournament was fantastic. If you're a hockey fan, I hope you were able to watch this because it was some of the most entertaining hockey. And the fact that both the bronze medal game and the gold medal game, one went to overtime, one went to shootout, like nothing gets better. And that means the competition's really good. And then Canada, you got to figure out what you're doing because right now you left so many top 10 picks off of your team. And you didn't deserve the medal. I'm sorry.
No, they didn't. They didn't. They played not so good against teams they should have beat. It sounds like they weren't built correctly, if you ask me.
And when your players that were left off are liking posts on by other countries that beat you, yikes.
Weird, man. Just weird, petty stuff we don't understand as old men, you know?
I think I will wrap my side up here. So the Blues had multiple players in the top 15 in scoring for the whole tournament.
Yeah.
Jakub Stancil finished number two with 10 points. Then Dalibor Dvorsky, who played two less games than the vast majority of these players in this top 10 group, had 9 points. And then you slide on down to the 12th spot with Otto Stenberg at 8. And then Yuri Pekarčík finished at 15 with 7 points. So, Blues fans, it doesn't get much better than that. And then Adam Dzeko's down there tied with a group of people, too.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited. I love this group of prospects. I don't think I've been this excited about a group of prospects since, like, the Tarasenko times.
Yeah.
And there's a larger majority of the players to be excited about if you're a Blues fan right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the end of this year and going into next. And I don't care as long as we make it, you know. I think these players are ready to play. They might need some more time. Like, they think they're ready to play, I mean. But Doug and Steen will bring them over when they're ready, you know.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the last two games. The bronze game, Sweden versus Czechia, went to a shootout, as Josh said. It went 14 rounds of a shootout, and the Czechs pulled it off. They beat Sweden and got the bronze medal. Stonzel scored in the shootout. Stenberg scored in the shootout as well. Also, Stonzel scored a goal in regulation assisted by Dzeko and Yurchik. So an all Blues prospect goal, which is really cool to see.
Yep.
14 rounds is just bonkers. It was unreal to watch. I'm happy for him. I think that's great. Yep. it's always great to see your home team medal, you know, if you're a Czech fan. And then the gold medal game, like Josh said, went to OT. This game was great, dude. It was so competitive. Finland ended up going up 3-1 at one point, and the U.S. tied it at the very last second of the second period. And then it was real tight hockey in the third, and OT, as Josh mentioned, we put it away, the U.S. 4-3. USA back-to-back, yeah?
Yeah.
So good for them. God bless America. Play Freebird, all that good stuff. Our only prospect, Colin Ralph, didn't really do much, unfortunately, in the tournament, but happy for him to get a gold. That's always good to see. At least he understands the process of getting through a tournament and winning a medal or a trophy, you know, so that's good for him.
He was a depth piece in this team. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
He's not an offensive flashy guy. He's a stay-at-home defenseman. I think he played little under 10 minutes in this game. But that being said, I mean, you also have Hudson, who is a defenseman that played close to 25 minutes and is just a freak of nature. Like, good Lord. Washington got a steal in the second round with that kid.
Yeah, I don't. Washington might be crazy good for a while here. All right. Let's get into something new. So Josh and I got together. We thought, you know, we're kind of just rolling through the same kind of stuff on the pod. Let's shoot our shot at some player report cards. So the process we're thinking is do a D pair, do a forward line, do a D pair, do a forward line. So that's what we're going to do because we can. We wanted to start with the first D pair because it's just easy to talk about them, and because Cam Fowler has played kind of the least amount of games and he's had the most hype recently. So let's get into it. You want to talk about Cam?
Yeah. So Cam acquired him here. I guess he's played 11 games with us. That being said, let's do some statistics and then we'll tell you the grade that Mike and I gave him.
Yeah.
So he's played 11 games for the Blue Note. In that time frame, he did play in his 1,000th NHL game, which is the first player in NHL history to play in an outdoor Winter Classic game. So, 4 goals, 5 assists. He's a +5, averaging 22 minutes a night for this team, which is huge on a team that was playing heavy minutes on 3 defensemen. That being said, I think Mike and I is a joint decision here. We gave him an A. Like, he's been everything and more for us, and everyone was like, what do you mean? We just gave a second round pick and a prospect. And what are we doing? Guys, he's been everything and better. Yeah. Also, a lot of you want to argue he had to play his offhand with injuries lately, playing with Broberg, not playing on his offside. So, like, he's doing everything for you. Leadership, quiet, does his game, up in the play, running your power play, running the penalty kill. I think an A is well deserved. And I will fight anyone on this hill. He's an A.
Yeah, he's just the veteran presence you need on any hockey team, and now we have like 4 veteran presences on the back end.
Yeah.
It's like Bissonnette said it, man. Like, wily veterans, good mix of young players up top. Like, not many mistakes are made with these guys. And Cam Fowler truly hasn't made many, man, if any. And he's producing goals and points at a high rate, like almost a point per game in 11 games. It's just impressive to watch. He got out of a situation where they were like trying to transition into younger core. He knew it was coming for a year now. He bit the bullet and flew and played the next day after a really long road trip and still played great. And he's a workhorse. He's a hockey player through and through. There's nothing better than a guy like Cam Fowler. And shout out to Doug Armstrong yet again for trading. And it was an Everblades prospect from the ECHL, Biaka Batuka, and a second round pick for this guy. So hate it at $4 million either. $4 million.
Yeah, great move.
Amazing.
Sounded like they were trying to acquire him actually this past summer.
Yeah.
Going into the season. So we have had an eye on him. That being said, just to throw a little more trouble towards Edmonton. Guys, Edmonton, you need a defenseman, and you could have got him, and you have all the draft capital. So, yet again, another misplay by their management. Sorry, just had to throw that in there.
I'm telling you, man, that they're pretty close-minded up there, unfortunately. Yeah. They're still a fantastic hockey team, and you will be for a long time with the two guys you have. So, all right, let's go to his pairing partner at right now, which is Mr. Colton Parayko. Arguably might be Mr. Blue at the end of his career. Yep. He has officially played 700 games in the Blue Note jersey. This season, 41 games played. He has 7 goals, 16 assists, and he is even on the plus-minus category. He's averaging 24 minutes a night, so he's bulking it up, baby. He's playing a lot of the game. Josh and I mentioned before we started recording, he is on pace to set all new career highs. Career high in goals is 10. He's at 7. As I said, career high in assists is 31. He's at 16. If he keeps it up, he's breaking them. And doing that while still being an even plus minus, playing that many minutes a night, incredible stuff from him. I was destroying him a couple years ago when he was playing hurt. Unknowingly, though, as a fan, you don't know.
Terrible back injury.
It stinks, but he's come back with a vengeance. He finally understands the leadership role, I think. He is clearly a locker room guy, just like a giant teddy bear. Like, you can go to him with anything. So on and off the ice, an amazing player. Do you have anything to say before we grade him?
Yeah, I think this is going to go down as his best season as a St. Louis Blue. We have seen him use his slap shot and use it in a way that it is a rocket and it is scoring goals left and right. And I love to see it. So happy to see it. He is just a class act and I love him. I think he will go down as one of my favorite all-time Blues. And like you said, he may be Mr. Blue. He is on the trajectory. If he keeps going these next couple of years to catch Barrett Jackman, he's going to pass Pietrangelo here soon. I don't know. Does he get a statue at that point? I think time will tell if he plays 1,000 games potentially with the Blues.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if he's accomplished enough to do that.
He's got to win another cup.
Got to win a cup, and you got to win some sort of individual trophy, I think, because if anything, there's a couple more players that deserve it more than him. But he's truly been unreal, and I hope he gets that 1,000 games in a Blue Note. Together we gave him an A-. Now, the minus is just because the little moments where you're like, oh my god, we're hemmed in, he's not moving. But then he somehow finds that burst of energy to do it himself. So, like, I don't know. There's just moments where he's out there for goals against, and you're like, ah. Like, he needed to get off the ice, but he couldn't. I don't know. Sometimes it's mistakes that don't need to happen, but everyone makes them. If Cam Fowler's an A, he's an almost A. Truly just an amazing defenseman. I'm so happy we have him still. Yep. It's kind of wild to realize how long he's played. Truly, he's been playing for a long, long time.
His first season back in 2015-16, goodness.
Yeah, so almost 10 years for him. I love it. I love the guy to death. All right, that was fun. We'll hop in to doing forwards next podcast. I don't know what else. We'll be posting graphics and cool stuff about it to keep y'all engaged on social media. I know on the podcast, like, sometimes it feels like we're rushing through things. We're just going through the list, baby. But that was fun. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And it'll become a little routine throughout the rest of the year. So,
yeah, we'll get grades and keep going. And I think we'll have some interesting conversations with some other guys that goes along the way. And some guys that are going to get some not so great grades and some guys that'll get some surprising grades, I think. But Yeah. That being said, I think it's going to be a fun little segment we're going to try to throw in here each week till the end of the season.
Yeah, and these are the easy ones, you know.
Yeah, we started very easy. It's going to get very complicated in some interesting directions in which we're going to go with grades.
100%. Yeah, and some of them are really hard because they haven't played that much, you know. So we'll see.
Do you love skating but hate having to drive out of your way to have fun? Skate St. Louis can help. Skate St. Louis is a locally owned roller skating operation designed to bring unique activities directly to you. Created by co-owners Augustin Boydell and Brendan Religa, Skate St. Louis provides skates, safety, and entertainment equipment for all ages by turning parking lots, indoor facilities, parks, greenways, and more into amazing roller skating experiences. Go to www.skatestl.com. Email them at contact@skatestl.com or call/text them at 314-745-6096 for more details. Remember, support local St. Louis businesses, y'all.
Looking for a premium handcrafted leather goods that can last a lifetime? At Valent Leather Works, they specialize in custom design leather products made of the finest materials with expert craftsmanship. From wallets to belts to bags to accessories, each piece is crafted with finite attention and detail built to stand the test of time. With a lifetime warranty, elevate your style with luxury that speaks for itself. Valent Leather. I personally have Valent Leather products, and I'm looking at getting another one here in the next couple of days. He's working on a wallet for me. Please go to his website. He is doing free custom engravings with each order. So just go to valentleather.com, valentleather.com, and place an order, guys. This is great quality products. John is a great guy, great customer service. He is a veteran, and we love our veteran-run companies, and he is in the healthcare world with me. So please support John and support local. He has great handcrafted items, guys, and I cannot say more about it.
All right, now the fun happens, dude. We wanted to end the podcast with this because we're just going to start throwing stuff at the wall. And if it sticks and we were the first to mention it,
yes,
we'll get all the credit in the world. No, I'm just kidding. We're calling it Shoot Your Shot. So Josh and I, we picked a giant list of players that we think we can acquire on the Blues via trade that can improve our offense. There's no defenseman on this list. We come to the conclusion that we're okay right now. We really don't need it. These are all centers, maybe wingers. And some of them might surprise you. So... No. Let's start. You go first. I don't really know what I want to think about some of these, so I'll let you start and maybe I can piggyback.
Okay. So we kind of have an order here. I think I'm going to start with the very bottom.
Okay.
Here. So, I think this will be interesting for some Blues fans. All right. These are all players from the Chicago Blackhawks, the team that is struggling, the team that I feel like is going to unload at the deadline. Because they are still retooling, and whatever they did this offseason is not working. Their GM is, I think, about to explode. So, that being said, the first guy we said, just a local guy. I think he just adds some goodness to the locker room, some grit. If you make the playoffs, the man is a master chirper. Patty Maroon, I think, would be an interesting addition. I don't think he's bringing you anything to the offense. I think he does bring you a grit to your bottom six. And that being said, probably your fourth line. But he's not, I think he may help you on the power play of parking him in front of the net. That is the only thing I think he could add to this team is put him in front of the net.
And you can get him for cheap.
You can get him cheap.
Get him for cheap. You just send him a pick, you know? It won't take much schmoozing from Armstrong to get him to come back, man. No. You know? And it's just up to the Blackhawks GM to be like, all right, fine. You know?
Yeah.
I love that idea. I'll never say no.
Yeah, I think us being St. Louis boys will always. We're St. Louis folks, you know, we are hometowners. No matter what, we'll take you if you're coming home to your hometown.
Yep.
All right. So we got three other players on this Blackhawks team that I think could benefit us. The first one that I think Mike and I were a little surprised by, very reasonable, having a good season, Ryan Donato. He's got 11 goals and 11 assists, and he's only making $2 million. That is a, come on, buddy. Armstrong will finagle a deal for you. We got 3.8 in cap space. You can fit right in at the third line. He could play center on your third line. Oh, my gosh. Neighbors, Donato, and Zachary Bolduc. Sign me up.
I don't hate it at all. I didn't know he was that cheap. Now, it depends what he's worth to the Blackhawks. If he's a UFA at the end of the season, are they really thinking, dang, we're going to have to pay this guy, you know, an extra $2 million?
Does he want to stay there at the end of the season?
Right. I mean, if he's playing, is he playing with Bedard?
I don't think so.
If I'm him, I want to play playoff hockey. I'm trying to think of what we could send. Is Texier in a pick too much?
I think this team is more willing to trade a Matthew Joseph than a Texier.
I think so too.
And I think Matthew Joseph is making about $2.95 million. Signed for next season. Good depth piece. He could probably play up in the lineup. And he's a PK master. So
yeah,
I think that's a good move for Chicago.
Yeah, if we can, you got to sweeten the deal with that one, especially with the extra $1 million they're going to take on for a less productive player.
Matthew Joseph and a 6th-round pick for Donato.
Anything, any pick that's not a first, a second, or a third, I'm in. We'll see. I love that idea. Ryan Donato, so low-key, dude. He's been good for a while, I feel like, too.
Yeah, he's bounced around. I mean, this is his second year in Chicago. Played for the Kraken, played for San Jose, played for the Minnesota Wild, played for the Boston Bruins. He's a Massachusetts boy.
Yeah.
Was drafted by Boston in the second round in 2014. He's 28. Left-handed shot. I mean, I don't see many flaws in that addition to your team.
No. And if it's as cheap as your healthy scratch and a late round pick, Doug's making that all day long.
Oh, yeah.
All day long. I think Saad's too much. I think Saad's too much to give. They would probably love to have him back, though, up there in Chicago.
If you're giving up a Saad, though, I think there has to be a strong debate about getting two players back in return. Probably.
If he's going to pick it up like he has the last two games, it makes sense to get two back. Great idea, though. I love Donato. Let's go into the next player on this list from the Hawks. I love this guy. He's so old. Not really. He's only 36. Craig Smith. Craig Smith, everybody. He's been in the league for 75 years.
Still playing, baby.
he's not doing much in Chicago. He's just kind of floating as a vet. Locker room glue guy, you know. I'm not sure of his contract. You can get him for cheap, though. I think he's as cheap as a pick, too, you know, like Pat Maroon. I think you just send him a 4th, 5th rounder and you get him. And that's a guy you can shove into the bottom six, take draws, throw some hits, and it puts Sonny in the healthy scratch category because he can't skate, unfortunately, with his knees.
So Craig Smith is making a whopping $1 million.
Cheap.
And you know his statistics this year. 29 games played. Okay, cool. 6 goals, 5 assists. $1 million player. Okay, come on. We'll take you.
I mean, you can't say that's that bad.
No,
for it's him. Not. How much is he playing on the ice, though? What's his time on ice?
Let's see. 11 minutes.
All right.
Almost 12. I think that's a great trade. 39% almost at the faceoff dot.
Okay. That's only $1 million. And he's more productive than Sundqvist.
Playoff run.
Yeah.
Also, you could get him. Like, here's the thing. If you package a Matthew Joseph with, I don't know, a prospect, a middling, lower tier prospect, and add a Donato or Craig Smith,
I mean, I'm not going to say no to a center that can produce more than Sundqvist, you know? Yeah. And this, that's not a knock on Sundqvist as a person, man. He's amazing. He's like St. Louis through and through. He's just, production is really low right now, and we need somebody to be a third line center that can produce a little bit more.
And not take a spot up that's going to be needed for a player next year.
Yeah.
100%. Out of these guys, the only guy I could see us re-signing would be a Ryan Donato.
Yes, 100%.
The last guy, though, Jason Dickinson.
Yeah, such a low-key player. Really low-key player. And he wins face-offs, which you know I love, buddy. So let me go through his stats for you. He's played 39 games. He has 7 goals, 6 assists. He's only a minus 2 on a really bad Blackhawks team. Give him credit for that. He is 47% on the dot. Unreal. He's playing 16 minutes a night. It's around his career average. I mean, I don't think he's bad pickup at all. How much is he making?
What is he making?
Wasn't it like 4?
4.25.
Yeah, see, that's like, to me, that's
too much.
It's too much because you can get Donato for half the price.
4.25 for a guy that his career high is 22 goals, and that was last year. And before that, his career high was 9.
Yeah, so he's kind of just a bottom six type of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really like that one. I mean, I'd give him Joseph straight up.
Yeah.
I think a guy who can win faceoffs.
I think an addition of a Ryan Donato or a Craig Smith out of the Chicago picks would be the best. Or you're getting a Patty Maroon and a Donato. But for that to work, you're moving a player, at least one of your players on your roster right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a pick. And then at that point, you still are going to have to make some decisions about your roster and who stays.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So it's kind of, it's squirrely sometimes, but I think Donato and Maroon are good bets on that one. And if you're only given like, you know, late round pick and a healthy scratch, it's not a bad idea. Okay, let's go to skip over that one because I feel like that team's like the best bet.
Yep.
Let's go to the Islanders, dude. This one's interesting. These names are like well known names that I put here. I don't know if it's possible, but they're having great years and they're getting older and the Islanders are getting older. You know, maybe they want some young talent. Brock Nelson. Now he's pricey. Yeah. We know he's pricey, but he is a money sniper, like low key. And if you can get him on a team where he's getting pucks from Robert Thomas, he's going to score some goals.
Yep.
Now, what you have to give might be a little much.
It's going
to
be pricey.
It would be pricey. It would be like Assad and maybe a high round pick, or Assad, a player, or like a high prospect in a pick. So I don't know if it's worth it at the end, especially because Assad could pick it up.
Yeah.
And it's all weigh your options, see what happens. I love Brock Nelson. If Doug Armstrong worked some magic with Lou Lamoriello, I mean, he's known for making weird plays or doing nothing at all. So okay. We'll see. I don't know how you feel about that, though.
Yeah, he's making $6 million.
Yeah, it's a lot.
He's 33.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, Saad would have to be part of that deal because 100%. You need to clear out money to be able to afford him, because I don't see Lou eating contract on any player he's trading out.
No, he isn't. He's a stubborn old man.
Yeah. I mean, he's having a good season. I mean, yeah, he is. Nothing crazy. 40 games, 10 goals, 11 assists. He has a minus 3. He does play that center dot where he is 54.1%.
So I totally forgot he was a center, dude.
Yeah.
You slide him in the 2, so you move Shen down at that point.
Yeah, and honestly, that's not bad. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Having Brock Nelson center the second line would be really, really nice.
Yeah.
That would be really cool to see. He's just too pricey. Yeah, but I wanted to put him there because he wins so many faceoffs. So many, man.
Which he is a he is a UFA at the end of the season. So
maybe Lou does eat a little bit. Maybe he's like, we'll eat 25%.
He does have a modified no trade.
Okay.
So a 16 no trade list. I think he'd be willing to come here.
Yeah.
I feel like for the Blues, for a lot of players, you kind of have to get traded here to realize what kind of place it is.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are usually pleasantly happy and don't regret it.
No. No. We have the best alumni group, 100%. Mm-hmm. Here's my second pick for this. It's kind of on the same spectrum. Palmieri.
Yes.
I would do it. I would do it. This guy's like, he's almost a point per game player this year, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
38 games, like 27 points.
40 goals, 40 games played, 12 goals, 14 assists. 41% at the dot. Okay,
so he doesn't really win a lot of faceoffs, but he's an old guy that plays good old school hockey, and he can score, baby.
Could play on your third line.
Yeah, and 20 goal scorer on your third line is great. That would probably be too much, too, knowing Lou Lamoriello, knowing how much the Islanders love Palmieri. But I love the way he plays the game, dude. Like, having him on the third line with Neighbors would be a lot of fun to see.
Yeah. He's in his last year of his contract, so another guy that's an expiring contract. He is making $5 million, though.
So it's a little bit easier to get.
A little bit easier.
With the money, I mean.
Maybe but they're
still
to take
probably
a,
giving
a Joseph
away.
And a pick.
Well, yeah, I don't know. The Islanders fans might go and riot, man, if they do that. I think it would have to be Saad.
Yeah.
I think it would have to be Saad. Maybe just straight up, honestly. All right, pick a new team. Wasn't as fun as the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I know. Let's go to the Bruins.
Okay.
I think this guy's been, the name is constantly being thrown out there. Trent Frederick.
Yep.
I think it would be a good pickup. I think he's played well under Monty before. Having a rough season, also having a rough season in a contract season, which is never a good sign.
Brutal.
I don't know if he just needs a change of scenery in Boston. He's only 26. He is probably only going to be a bottom six guy for you. He's played 42 games this year. He's got 6 goals, 6 assists, and he's a minus 10. I don't know. Let's see what his faceoffs are. He's 43.9 at the dot.
Yeah.
God. So
I feel bad for him, man. But it's all on him. He's got to do it himself, and he's not. Yeah. He's not going to get paid.
No.
He really isn't going to get paid. So he might be easy to get. I almost feel like you can send him straight up a Matthew Joseph or send him straight up like a Texier or something.
I think
you know what I mean?
More than that. I think they'll want a Matthew Joseph and a pick or a Texier and a pick, and I think it's going to be at least a fourth round pick you'll have to send.
Yeah, knowing Boston...
Or they'll hold out to the deadline and highest bidder for a playoff team that wants grit on your bottom six.
100%. No, that would be them. But they're rolling.
They're still in the playoffs. They're in playoff contention too.
They're third in the Atlantic. So like, why would they get rid of anybody on the team that's playing every game? So that one's weird right now. I don't know. He's been so bad that. I personally don't really have much interest, but coming home and playing would probably be a good thing for him. It might just be too expensive. All right.
Who are you picking next?
Let's go to the Rangers. Let's have fun a little bit with the Rangers. Fire sale for them, dude. They've been so weird this year. I'm just flabbergasted still by how bad they're playing. I think they've kind of evened out a little bit, but just in general, no one's playing to their caliber.
Yeah.
And their GM said pretty much, let's do whatever, you know, let's sell whatever you guys give us. We'll look at it. And we have two names here. They're bigger names. And honestly, I think both of them would be worth it, man. It might take a lot, though. Let's start with Riley Smith.
Yeah.
What do you think of Riley Smith?
I love him. I loved him when he was in Vegas. And I pretty much hate every Vegas player. He's one of the only Vegas players I did not hate. I think he is huge in his game. There's not much negative to my feeling on him.
Yeah.
Having a decent season, I mean, for playing on the Rangers team, he is positive. He's a plus three. He's got 19 points. He's got 8 goals, 11 assists. He's a winger. That being said, I don't know where he fits in your lineup. I think he's a third line winger.
Yeah.
So I think he's making 5 or 6 million. So I think that right there is going to be a little hard to swing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the price is. I feel like Chris Drury in New York is going to ask for an arm and a leg for all of his players.
Yeah, he will.
And I don't think he's going to get an arm and a leg for any of his players. So either you wait it out or Vegas goes back and picks up a Riley Smith at the deadline and has Vegas somehow convinces the Rangers to eat contract or Mark Stone's on the LTIR again.
Yeah. I think we need to pull that card here soon. Just put Leds on the LTIR and free up another 4. I love Riley Smith. I've always loved Riley Smith. He's a fantastic hockey player. $6 million is a little steep. I think he's first line wing.
I mean, he honestly probably would fit well with Thomas.
I think everyone will.
Yeah.
Thomas, Riley, Bush, and then you can keep Neighbors down there with Bull Duke on the third line. Now, it doesn't help your center problem.
Yeah. At all. I think that's the biggest issue is we need a center.
And you would have to give up too much. We understand. We wanted to throw it out because if you have Riley Smith on your first line, like he's going to score goals.
Yeah.
And he did it in Vegas. The next one is kind of, it's bonkers if this is possible. If Drury isn't lying and says Kreider is out there for pickup. And the way he traded, let's talk about Kako. Traded him for like not that much, dude. Like defenseman, like solid defenseman in a pick, but like really? You're getting rid of one of your first round young talents. He might have underperformed. He's still like 22, bro. Now he's going out to Seattle where they're kind of going through a retool or whatever, or trying to win now, and they have some great veterans on that team, and he's gonna fit in so well. Now, is Drury gonna make an underwhelming trade for Chris Kreider? It would have to, from us, it's a sod, dude. 100%.
They're eating contract, like
it's because a sod, they're eating contract, and we throw in a pick too.
Yeah, and you're stuck with he's making $6.5 million this year and next year.
Yeah,
but he'll be 36 by the end of this.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, he'll be 36 by the time he's hitting free agency.
This goes to show how young Sod is still. People think he's old as heck. They were surprised. I saw comments saying this guy still plays. He's only 32. It's not like he's 80. It's just because he's been playing for so long. And in reality, it's probably not worth it, obviously. But Chris Kreider on your team is like having another Jake Neighbors. You know, he's constantly in the front of the net, constantly scoring dirty goals. And sometimes that's what a team needs.
Yeah.
Too much to give, most likely. Great hockey player in Chris Kreider. If he does get traded, I will lose it. I would laugh so hard if it's not even for that much. You know,
honestly, I could see him going to Edmonton.
They already signed like Skinner and Arvidsson, and they're gonna and Henrique, and now they're gonna go get Chris Kreider.
That sounds like an Edmonton move. All
they
over.
Don't have any young guys. Right? It's wild to think about. Kapanen. All right. I see you typing. I'll mention the next team too.
Okay.
I kind of brought this one up because I like the idea of a couple of these guys a lot, dude. Detroit Red Wings. They've dealt with us in the past. They've dealt with a lot of people in the past. Stevie Y is kind of stubborn. But I'm going to run through these names a little bit because our time's getting long. Yep. Valeno, underwhelming year from him. I picked him to be a breakout player. He's doing okay, but you can get him for cheap.
Yep.
I think you can send him just a pick for Valeno or even just like a Joseph straight up.
Yep.
But I don't know if that helps you too much. He's just a young player that might need to get out of hop with Detroit.
Yep.
Andrew Kopp. Now, this is the one I want a lot. I think he is a amazing centerman. He's underappreciated in Detroit. He might be a little bit overpaid, but I think you can get him from Stevie Y at a good deal. I think it might be as easy as sending Saad straight up, or it might be as easy as sending them Joseph in like a third or fourth. So I don't know. Yzerman's not going to let it go easy. But I think he's literally the perfect player for us. He is an unreal centerman, like I said. Let me go to his stats here.
Yeah, it's like I got his stat.
You do?
Yeah. So he's 39 games played,
yep.
7 goals, 9 assists. He's a plus
yep.
4.
Yep.
He is 50.9 at the dot.
Yep.
His cap hit is $5.625 million.
Oof.
Yeah. And he has 2 years left on that deal.
It is a little much.
He will be a free agent 2027 at the age of 32 then.
I love this guy though, man. I don't know what I feel about him. He is a Michigan boy though, too.
He is. Sucks. I don't know if they're going to be willing to move him, nor do I know if Army is going to be willing to take a guy on with
right.
that amount of time left on his right. deal.
Reality sets in when you start really diving into it. I didn't see, we made these list of names and I didn't really dive into anything. I was just like, yeah, great idea. I just looked at the stats real quick.
I mean, the last guy on this list, it'll never happen, but I think it'd be comical because I would love it just for the sheer fact that Blackhawks fans getting pissed.
Mr. Patrick Kane?
Yeah, Mr. Patrick Kane. Come on, buddy.
I think it's a great idea. I genuinely think it's a really good idea. You just put him out there with Thomas. Just
I joked with you, though.
Twenties all day. I mean, he's going to score so many goals with Robert Thomas.
I joked because the rumors were swirling that Jonathan Toews was like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I want to make an NHL comeback. All right, let's go sign. Let's go trade for Kane, and then bring Toews in on a PTO, bridge him to a deal, and then you got Patty Kane and Toews wearing the blue note, which no fans would have ever seen that coming. And then we make a playoff run. I think it'd be comical. Awesome. I'd love it. It'd be funny.
It'd be so awesome to have them as our third line. Taves Kane are running around with like neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Holloway or something. Yeah. Or Bull Duke out there with the vets. Oh,
power play would get so much better.
Yes. Yes. What I mean, you'd have to give them a pretty decent amount for Patrick Kane.
I don't know, though. Like,
you got to give him someone younger.
He's on.
How much? He's getting paid a decent amount too.
$4 million.
Sod straight up.
They're not taking Sod for him.
What?
I don't know.
Maybe 4 years younger, and he snipes goals. But he doesn't. But Kane and DeBrincat together is just like different, you know.
I wish we could get DeBrincat. That's who I really want. I'd be willing to trade my first round pick for DeBrincat.
We don't have any first round picks.
We have this year's. I'd be willing to move my first round pick. Saad
this year
and something, yeah, for DeBrincat.
It would have to be like Saad.
Saad and a prospect that was just in the tournament.
Yeah, it would. You give him Pekarčík or something. It would have to be a pretty decent prospect.
I think they're asking for Jimmy Snuggaroo.
I don't think Snuggaroo's going anywhere but St. Louis, baby.
I know.
There's no way you're passing up on that guy. You have to sign him to like an NHL contract.
But DeBrincat's only 27. He's got 17 goals, 15 assists.
Just wait till Snuggaroo comes in and he starts potting him. You know,
that's true.
You'll be like, why is he in a Detroit jersey, not a Blue jersey? All right, let's go through. Let's go through the Sharks and quick with the Penguins.
Yeah,
Achari, we let him walk. He signed in Pittsburgh for a pretty decent deal. Just a guy who could win faceoffs and bring grit.
Yeah, he was a buffer in that trade with O'Reilly to Toronto.
Pretty much. Yeah. Sonny, straight up, make the deal, Pittsburgh. You get your cup friend back. We'll take it. Yeah. And then another name is Lazat. He's kind of another grinder faceoff guy.
Yeah.
Younger, not bad. I think you can get him for cheap, too. I think you could give him same deal. Sonny, maybe a late pick. Yeah. Those are honestly, like, genuinely okay deals that I wouldn't mind if we can solidify a third line center, man. Yeah. That's truly what we need. Okay, I'll let you run with the last team. This is like...
Yeah, I'll rapid fire all the names. We'll go through and talk about them.
Okay.
So San Jose Sharks. I think they're going to move some guys, but they got a decent team. But
yeah.
Starting from the bottom, Luke Kunin. He's a St. Louis boy. Bring some grit. Wouldn't be mad.
Yep.
Nico Sturm. Also, face-off guy, could bring you some grit, too. Tyler Toffoli, I love him. Mike loves him.
Oh,
he's bounced around the league, would fit perfectly in St. Louis. And then Wennberg. So, realistically, I know Jamie Rivers had talked before they re-signed him. Luke Kunin, I don't think he's getting traded anywhere. He wears an assistant captain there. They love him.
Yeah, which is wild.
He's grit. He's not flashy. He doesn't score much goals, but he'll mess you up.
Yep.
Nico Sturm, not flashy, relatively decent in the faceoff dot.
Buddy, he's 62% this year.
Okay, he's really good in the faceoff dot. I mean, I think that'd be great just for that.
Yeah.
I don't know what his contract is though.
I don't know either.
He's probably making some stupid money.
No, probably like. Three. Bet she makes 2.5. Three.
You think?
He's a cup champion, but I don't...
$2 million. Bring him on, baby.
Yeah, it's a deal. Just to have him win faceoffs for Bull Duke and Neighbors.
He's 29, plays center. He's 6'3".
Yeah. Forecheck with Neighbors and Bull Duke and got some goals with him. Win 60% of the faceoffs.
Would not be a bad pickup.
Yeah, I love it.
I think that's a realistic option there.
It really is realistic because he's not like a big point producer for them. He's just out there winning faceoffs.
Yeah. The other guy, Tyler Toffoli, I think is going to be the hardest one to pull away from them. I don't think they're going to want to trade him.
I don't think
so
either.
He and Macklin are like besties, and he's got 15 goals and 11 assists this year. So that's kind of a
pipe dream. Which really isn't as much as I thought he'd have. I thought he'd be a point per game for them playing with Celebrini. Obviously, the team is just not very good. But, I mean, even when he gets to the dot, he's only taking 15 or 6. Yeah, 15, he's 50% too. So if you need him to fill in as a right winger when someone gets tossed, he might win it.
Yeah.
He's just a pure goal scorer. I can't believe how much he's bounced around in his career.
Yeah.
I genuinely can't believe it. And when he does get traded, he's a point-per-game player on the team he gets traded to. It's wild. You would have to give a lot, though, man.
Yeah.
They would cash in if they were
letting him go.
They would cash in, and that's probably a first-rounder, a top-six forward.
Yeah.
Or, like, at least a third-line player. But I love you, Tyler Toffoli. Hopefully we see you in a blue note. That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah, I think that would be a pipe dream, but I would be really happy.
Yeah.
Then Alexander Wennberg.
This is your guy, dude.
Yeah. I think it'd be a sneaky good pick. I mean,
yes.
He's 30. He's from Sweden. We're on the Swedish kick right now. He's a left-handed shot. He's a big boy, 6'2". He's making think, what is he making? $5 million in one more year on his contract.
Ooh.
Heavy, ooh, heavy hit on the.
Yeah.
But he is close to 49% at the faceoff dot.
I know. And he's got potential to be a 20 goal scorer. He loves to pass the puck, though. And he was his third year in the league. He almost had 50 assists for the Blue Jackets. Unreal. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, I think he would be able to feed the puck really well. I think he plays a okay two-way game.
Yeah.
I just think he'd benefit us in the faceoff dot from what we have currently.
It's truly what we need. Out of all the guys we mentioned, I love Wennberg. I love Donato.
Yeah.
I love...
Nico Sturm, honestly.
I love Sturm.
I think
I'm
realistic,
loving the Sturm idea.
Realistic options, I think. Honestly, what we could do, and I could see the Blues doing. Nola Chari, I think that would be a realistic option.
Same with Lizotte. Same with Lizotte.
I think either we seem to make deals with Pittsburgh. And they're both very cheap and not going to really mess up your future.
No.
Sturm, I think, would play into a little bit help down the road. I think that means Radek Fox is probably gone.
Probably.
And then you could have Walker be your fourth line center.
Perfect with me.
Yeah. But then you're still figuring out where Dvorsky fits in. So I think Nolichari, Lizotte, Sturm are the realistic options. Dreams, I think it would be adding a player like Patty Kane.
Yes.
Or a Kreider or a Brock Nelson.
Yeah, those are pipe dreams, man. Those are like, we woke up, what did we just do? We're making the playoffs, we're winning the cup. Yeah, it would just be like overreactions.
But time will tell. I think it's all going to come down to the month of January and where we're sitting at.
Yeah.
If we tank in the month of January, I think we are the seller and we're not going out to buy anything.
Yeah.
But if we are right in the playoff contention and we're right on that border again, or we're trying to fight off everyone trying to take the second wild card, we're going to add something.
Yeah, 100%. That's just the way it works in this world, the NHL world. I think if anything happens, I think it's after Four Nations.
Yeah.
Which
I'm good, better, and different right now. The state in which the Blues are at right now, I'm a little worried about some of our players going to play in Four Nations when I really think they could use some rest.
Yeah.
AKA Binnington, but...
I do agree with that, but luckily he'll be fine.
Yeah. But the other thing, though, guys, Binnington is building a resume for a Hockey Hall of Fame career. I know a lot of people don't want to say that, but if he has a cup, he's won already, he wins a Four Nations, okay. He goes on, he's going to be on the Olympic team for Canada in the next couple years, and he wins a medal. I mean, it's hard to say that he's not going into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and he's team lead in so many goalie stats. He might be all of them at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. It'll be tough to determine. His stats might not say that he's in. For sure, Blues, though. We know that for sure. We could do it right now. Okay, that's it. That was fun. It was good rambling for about 20 minutes. I loved it. I don't know. We'll try and bring it back, you know, when it starts to get a little more relevant, maybe. Maybe at the end of this month we'll bring it back, and if we hear some rumors, we'll, of course, tell you about it. Josh, thanks for chatting. Everybody, thanks for listening. It is really cold here. If you're in St. Louis, stay safe. Don't drive tomorrow, bro. Be safe, Josh, tomorrow driving.
If you see me in my snowshoes crossing the Poplar Street Bridge, just wave and say hi.
Just get to work safe.
I will end on this last note, which is kind of a cool statistic I wanted to throw out there. For us as a podcast, this is a huge moment that we are finishing our 20th episode.
Yeah.
Statistically, about 90% of people do not make it past their 20th episode. So in a short period of about 4 to 5 months, we have grown this podcast substantially more than I think Mike and I both thought was a potential.
Yeah.
And we are just getting started, and we are working on so many projects that we are so excited about. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for following. We can't thank you enough, and we can't wait to show you the rest, guys.
Yep. All right. Much love, everybody. Have a great week. We will see you next week, and let's go Blues.